Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Couple programming notes. I sound so professional when I say that. What, Chris? I do. Couple programming notes. About a half hour from now, we're going to have my friend John Justice, huge radio host from Minneapolis. He's going to be talking about Tim Walz. Who is this guy? He'll talk about that. Next hour, I'm actually bringing on another one. I can't believe it's a two-guest day. I never do this. Our friend BK of World News with BK. There's so much foreign policy crap going on right now, so we're going to dig into that with BK. But before we get into that and before I get back into Walz stuff, I do want to do a couple other emails, and I do want to hit on this, and it's completely unrelated to politics. It occurred to me, and it bothers me. So you've heard of Simone Biles. Simone Biles is that Olympian who's dominating gymnastics. Of course, you know my wife is a gymnast, big shot gymnast, so she knows all about it. And Simone Biles is also a filthy commie. And she goes on social media the other day. You remember how Trump, when he was busy curb stomping Biden in that debate, he talked about the illegals taking black jobs. And that's exactly what happens. The urban black community gets filled with these illegals because that's first place all the mayors and all the people put them. They put all the illegals in the urban black community, and then they go in and they snatch up all the jobs that are in that community for pennies on the dollar. They do. They take black jobs. This is something that's been well chronicled, and it's also a common term, black jobs this, black jobs that. Of course, Democrats tried to make Donald Trump seem like a racist after this. And they started saying black jobs. So it's a complete op. This is a common term that they abused, that they ran an op on. And of course, Simone Biles runs to social media and says, I love my black job. Just being a snarky little dirty Democrat like she is. And then I saw this today. This is from Serena Williams, that tennis player. She's in Paris, tried to go to some restaurant called the Peninsula. Sounds freaking expensive. She said, yikes, Peninsula, I've been denied access to the rooftop to eat in an empty restaurant of nicer places, but never with my kids. Always a first. And she puts an eye roll thing there. And then, of course, they fact checked her and we find out the restaurant was fully booked. She wasn't denied. They were booked. She didn't have a reservation. And I don't have a larger political point to make about this. My point is social media has done a lot of good and a lot of harm in this lifetime. There's no question. Having access to endless amounts of information has been wonderful and terrible. Having access to other people, famous people, normal people, has been wonderful and terrible. On some level, it's really cool that you can respond to your United States senator. You could get on right now and respond to Ted Cruz if you're in Texas. And maybe he'll ignore it. Maybe he'll never see it. But I know he's on there and he might respond. Kind of cool, right? At the same time, probably not for the best that everyone has access to everyone else. People make themselves out to be terrible. But social media has done the professional athlete an incredible disservice. And you know why? Because when you're an elite athlete, and I've known a few of these, elite athletes can be very, very, very well read and very brilliant, but that it can also be the dumbest people you've ever met in your entire life because they're allowed to be, that they can be. You know that old the old stereotype of the dumb blonde woman? And there were all kinds of funny dumb blonde jokes. And there have been a million brilliant blondes, but yeah, there have been a bunch of idiot ones. Why was that a thing? Why is it a stereotype? Because if you're a hot blonde, you can get through life without developing a personality or a brain because a lot of things are handed to you. It's that way for professional athletes a lot. If you're a kid and you're an unbelievable football player and you're big and you're strong and you're fast, the truth is you don't really have to study. Depending on where you are, there are lots of places you don't have to study at all. If you're, for instance, in my state of Texas, I've told you before, my buddy, one of my good friends, I was actually in the Marines with him, he was the third string quarterback in high school. Third string. He wasn't even the backup. Never saw the field. He was given A's by his high school teachers because he was on the football team. So if you're an elite athlete, you can coast through school without learning, without reading. And then, of course, depending on the school you choose, you can get a full ride scholarship to some Division I school, and you don't have to go to class. You've seen the movies. You've read the articles. You know how this works. You get the pretty girl, goes, takes your chemistry exam for you. And soon you may find yourself in the NFL, a multimillionaire. And yes, you are a grown adult and you're in your late 20s and you have all the money in the world. But the truth is you're a complete and utter moron. This has been the whole history of sports has been littered with these people. The problem is now when it comes to social media, now we know it. There have always been professional athletes who are idiots. Always. Now, we know it. Simone Biles is the most accomplished U.S. gymnast in the history of the country. And if it wasn't for social media, she would just be America's sweetheart at this point in time. Look at this incredible athlete. Look at how adorable she is. Go, Simone! Go, Simone! Woo! We would love her. It would be universal, Republican, Democrat. It would be universal. It wouldn't be political. But because this moron has access to social media and has to vomit her moronic opinions out there now, I laughed when she fell on the balance beam the other day. My wife told me she fell. I laughed. I thought it was hilarious. I'm tired of this filth. It's not the first time she's opened her stupid fat mouth about something, too. I liked it before I knew they were morons. Serena Williams, too. You just could hit a tennis ball better than other women could. And that's awesome. It's an awesome athletic skill. And it's cool. And I'm cheering for you. But she has repeatedly, because of social media, revealed herself to be a complete and utter moron. And honestly, it saddens me. It saddens me. Social media did the professional athlete a profound disservice. We should have never been able to find out how stupid these people are. And now we do. And there's that. Jesse, let's get back to politics. Am I the only one on the right not celebrating the VP pick? The choice of the openly extreme left option tells me they don't plan to lose. They know they need the moderates. There's nothing moderate about him. Anyone else sensing they don't fear losing with this choice? Well, I understand this way of thinking. When your enemy does something that doesn't make sense to you, it can create in you a sense of worry. At first, you're thinking to yourself, wow, this is great. This guy's an idiot. And then if you allow yourself to dwell on it long enough, you say to yourself, hold on, or is he? Does he know something I don't know? And you remember that clip, Chris, grab it if you wouldn't mind, that clip of Jamie Raskin from yesterday, the clip that has been heard around the world at this point in time. Jamie Raskin, very, very high-ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives, he sat down in a very serious tone and laid out, frankly, that they don't intend to let Trump win.
What can be put into the Constitution can slip away from you very quickly. And the greatest example going on right now before our very eyes is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, You know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025 to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody and civil war conditions, all because the nine justices, not all of them, but these justices who have not many cases to look at every year, not that much.
I get these emails of people very concerned that the fix is in, they're not going to let him win. And look, it's not that I don't share these concerns, and I'm never, ever, ever going to be dismissive of these concerns. These are very real concerns, but I don't want to make the mistake of constantly thinking these people are evil geniuses. They're evil, and sometimes they can be brilliant. Don't get me wrong, but Dome is not brilliant. Dome is not brilliant. Is the fix in before November? I don't know. We're going to find out in November. But if we lose to these two, well, you know what? Let's talk about that. If we lose, next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. In case you're wondering why it just went quiet there, I had something caught in my throat. It was one of the nuts. And I need to explain. Listen, shut up, Chris. Why don't you grow up? Listen, I have to explain something to you. I'm a huge nut fan. I love cashews. And the problem is every now and then one will come loose in my teeth and it'll get caught in my throat when I'm doing the radio. What, Chris? When did I eat cashews? Just a couple minutes ago, I didn't advertise to you they were cashews. I didn't think they were kosher. I didn't know what you were okay with and what you weren't. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. Let's get back to politics. The fix is in. All right, so someone thinks the fix is in, and we were just kind of doing a hypothetical. If we lose in November, what if that day, what if it happens? You have this complete moron, Dome. This woman.
There was the creation of fire. The wheel, electricity, technology. It's an absolute game changer.
That person, combined with Tim Walz, what if she combined with this nutball, what if these two are president and vice president?
A packed room at the St. Paul Armory erupted after the governor's signature made driver's license for all the law of the land.
He talks about this wall. I always say, let me know how high it is. If it's 25 feet, then I'll invest in the 30-foot ladder factory. That's not how you stop this.
Should cities be allowed to be sanctuary cities?
Yes, local control.
Yeah. What if we lose to them? Okay, well, the thinking is, well, what if it's illegitimate or legitimate? No matter what, if we lose to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in November, it's going to hurt. I will be upset. You will be upset. But it's not going to be the end of the world. It's going to be a clarifying moment. And clarifying moments have benefits, even ones that make you uncomfortable, even ones that hurt. You know, did I ever tell you my dad had 5 bypasses done? The Kelly men, they don't live very long on my dad's side. My dad, about to be 70, has way eclipsed the other Kelly men. Just heart problems and strokes and heart attacks and things like that. But this is years ago. My goodness, this is 15, 20 years ago, I would guess. My father is, he's always worked out, always lifted weights and hiked, and he's just very active. He's always pounding fence posts and driving cattle, and he's a very active man. And he was out hiking. He's always out hiking and walking and doing things like that. And walking up a hill in Montana and just can't catch his breath, has no energy, cannot catch his breath. And something's wrong, and he's miserable, and he figures that something's really bad, and they take him to the hospital, and he finds out he has all these blockages in his heart. and he has to go in for open heart surgery, which when you have to go in for open heart surgery when you're that young, it's actually easier when you're older. When you're that young, it's brutal because they have to saw your bones open. They don't. It's brutal, brutal surgery. And he had 5 bypasses done. Now, I remember it like it was yesterday watching my dad. My dad's huge. He's 6'4", 230, 240. He's a big, tough guy. Watching my dad lay in a hospital bed with tubes coming out of him, miserable, laid out. And that was awful. I remember being in that waiting room with my mother and my sister, and it was just awful. And you don't know if your dad's going to live. It was terrible. Every part of it was terrible. The shortness of breath, the surgery, the recovery was awful. It was awful. Every part of it was awful. It was awful. But my dad's about to turn 70. He's healthy as a horse. Knees bugging him a little bit, but back to working out. Still pounding fence posts. Still doing things he loves to do. Active, happy, healthy. Because he had a very, very, very painful clarifying moments are oftentimes very, very painful. If the worst thing happens this November, and I'm not saying it's going to, I hope it doesn't, and I don't think it will. I'm not making any predictions here. I don't think it will, but it's possible. If the worst thing happens this November, and we wake up on Wednesday morning, and we've got 4 years of dome walls, my goodness, I am going to hurt that day. You are going to hurt. We'll be sad. We'll be despondent. We'll be this. We'll be that. And yes, it will mean pain for everyone in the country. It will. 4 more years of this idiocy will mean pain. But in a lot of ways, it will be a clarifying moment for us. Where are we as a country? If we feel like there are some shady things that go on, where are we electorally? What if Trump wins and Jamie Raskin gets his wish and Congress won't let him assume office? Again, that's honestly, that might be wartime stuff. But again, horrible, bad, awful, but a clarifying moment. And clarifying moments, as I said, are often brutal and painful and uncomfortable, and we hate them. But oftentimes they're necessary to make the corrections we need to make in life. All right. Speaking of Tim Walz, John Justice, good friend of mine. He's the greatest talk show host in Minnesota. He's just awesome. He knows all about Tim Walz, and he's going to join us in a minute to talk about Tim Walz. Now, I have no doubt that John is going to be calling in on a Pure Talk phone because John is a patriot, you see. Cell phone companies, they're some of the worst companies out there. They are always getting involved in the culture war filth against us, always. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, every time you turn around, they're taking your money and they're sending it to Planned Parenthood and they're sending it to Black Lives Matter. It's just freaking terrible. Not Pure Talk. With Pure Talk, you have the patriotic cell phone company. And you don't sacrifice service because they're on the same 5G network. You want to keep your phone and number? Good. That's what I did. I kept my phone number. You want new number, new phone? They can do that too. But switch to Pure Talk. You'll pay less for the same service and you'll pay someone who appreciates your values and promotes your values. And it's 10 minutes on the phone to switch. That's nothing. Who doesn't have 10 minutes? You have 10 minutes right now. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I am excited for this. Joining me now, as I have been teasing all show long, my friend and amazing radio host out of Twin Cities News Talk, obviously doesn't need any introduction there, John Justice, the morning guy if you're in Minneapolis. You can also hear yours truly on that station. Maybe you're listening to me there right now. So, John, you know Tim Ball's walls better than I do. Who is this guy?
Jesse, I like to refer to him as Tim Jong-Walls, if we're going to be respectful.
Yes, I know how respectful you like to be, John. I've fielded a million questions about this guy over the last hour and a half, John, and one of the main themes is, how does this guy get elected in a state that is relatively purple, at least it was, and go so hard left and really take the state with him? How does that happen? You live there. I don't. How does this happen?
Well, it feels like process of elimination at this point. I mean, I know a lot of people have been talking, and I agree that I think Shapiro was in the lead, but for obvious reasons to everybody, the problems that the Democrats have in their party, they decided to go with Walz. Walz has been jockeying hard for this position ever since that June 27th disastrous debate with Joe Biden. He was the first person that I saw on the national news defending Biden's performance. And ever since then, and through the coup and the ousting of Biden, he has been out there auditioning for this gig. And I've got several reasons why I think Kamala picked him, but I also think that Minnesota is in play. And while Pennsylvania is crucial for Kamala to win, I think they also know that Minnesota is vulnerable as well. And because of that, that was one of the reasons why Walz was chosen.
Okay, all right. You need to lay out for me these reasons why you think he was chosen. And I want you to start, if you don't mind, with the fact Minnesota is in play. I never even considered Minnesota to be in play. I feel like that's something the GOP lies to itself about all the time. Then Minnesota goes blue. But you feel like it's in play this time. Why? What's going on?
The polls were closing prior to Biden getting ousted. And every single poll that was coming out leading up to that debate showed that the gap was closing and closing, and it was well within the margin of error, and Trump usually lags in the polls. And some of the polls were actually showing that Trump was leading. And because of that, the moment that Walz ended up being one of the most prominent individuals that I saw out there defending Biden, I got my spidey senses started tingling that, he's doing this for a reason. He wants this job. He's got a massive ego, but he also wants to make sure that the state doesn't go to Trump. Now, the other reason why, Jesse, and we can get into this if you'd like, is I think he's a safe pick for Kamala Harris because no current Kamala Harris supporters are going to pitch off because you chose Walz. He doesn't have any real good name recognition across the country, and he's safe. They're going to cast him as a moderate. He's a radical, but he's going to play the role of attack dog. He's a crescent wrench. He's going to be a useful tool for Kamala Harris because he's very, very media savvy.
Okay, so why go for Minnesota, though, over Pennsylvania if it's not the Jew thing? Obviously, I've been saying it openly. It's very clear that Democrats have an anti-Semitism problem. They hate Jews, yep. At least their base does now. But even though you know your base hates Jews, okay, I give you that, whatever, the Democrat base is a bunch of dirty demons anyway, don't you still have to pick Shapiro? You need Pennsylvania more than you need to protect Minnesota, right?
But I think that the word coming out of the Shapiro camp that maybe he didn't want it. And I think that because of that, he may have turned it down. I think he has further aspirations. And, Jesse, I think that's why so many of the prominent names that you know, that the listeners would throw about, you know, your Newsom, your Whitmer, you name them. Those that they thought would end up being the nominee over Kamala Harris while this was all going down. I don't think any of them wanted to be involved either. I think they have their own political aspirations. I think that Shapiro was the first pick, but I'm of the opinion he probably bowed out. And so by choosing Walz, perhaps you can lock in all of those Midwest states as well while you're at it, secure Minnesota as well. And I want to add one more thing here, and I know I'm going long. Cut me off whenever you like.
No, but, please go.
But, you know, what we know about Kamala Harris isn't a lot, but we do know that she's had a massive turnover rate within her office, okay? She's not very well-liked. That's pretty well-known. I think she chose Walz because she connected with him. Walz is a jerk. I mean, he is. He comes off like this folksy guy when he wants to, when he's talking to local media and plays up the dad role. He really is Newsom in flannel, though. And I think that she found a commonality with him. And I think that she connected with him because they really do seem like they're carved from that same political, far-left radical political stone. And I think that she found something in him, and it may not be the best pick, but I think for her, that's what she wanted. I think this was a personal choice.
Speaking with my friend John Justice, we go way, way, way back. He's the best talk show host in the state of Minnesota, in my opinion. John, can you explain to me this? Because there are issues that you care about and I care about that'll go past the norms and normas. And I get that. I know I'm a partisan. I don't pretend to be otherwise. But the National Guard thing, John, I opened up the show. I got my freaking blood pressure up. I was so daggone mad about it. Running out on your unit right before they deploy to Iraq is not a small thing to me. It's everything to me. If he agreed with me on every issue, I would hate his guts for that alone. Does that not move the people in Minnesota, the masses? I know it probably moves you, but the masses, does that not bother them?
It does, but here in Minnesota, more recent events supersede that. I understand your frustration. I echo your sentiments on that. But here in Minnesota, the riots, let's go back further. Let's go back to the draconian COVID lockdowns. What he did to the businesses and the people here in Minnesota is unforgivable by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And when the George Floyd riots took place and he hesitated to call the National Guard and then tried to defend his actions by saying that, well, we're going to call up a bunch of young cooks. That's how he labeled them. That sticks with the people of Minnesota more than those previous events that you mentioned. There's a lot more focus on that than there is. That was something of a controversy before, but now that's what people are more focused on.
John, tell everybody how far back we go.
As far as?
You and me.
Oh, yeah. We go back to the beginning of your political aspirations, the start of my talk radio career, for crying out loud. I think you were one of my first interviews.
Mm-hmm. John Justice was the big deal in Tucson, Arizona, back when a young idiot Marine started running for Congress. And it was a really, really, really big deal to get John Justice to have you on the air back then, especially when nobody freaking knew my name. And before anybody else, anyone nationally or anything else would even bother talking to me, you kept bringing me into the studio. That is, gosh, John, you want to feel freaking old? I think that's like 15 years ago. That's how old we are now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's been 28 years of doing this at this point in time. And you know what, Jesse? It's amazing to me. I listen to your show. You're usually my main listen on the drive-in. I catch up with your previous show on my drive-in to work. And what's incredible is that I have so many instances of people that I interviewed for the first time at the beginning of their political career, just, you know, entering into the fray. And I've seen so many other people, Jesse, go the other way. They've just succumbed to all of it. And they just turned evil, you know, there's no other way to put it. And it's so refreshing after all these years to listen to you and to know you stuck to your guns. You're the same Jesse that I knew then, certainly way more seasoned, but you're the same Jesse I knew then that you are now, man. And it's always a thrill to listen to you. Yeah, it's something that I never forget in terms of our relationship and my radio career.
Well, I appreciate you very much, my brother. Like I said, he is John Justice. Honestly, I would tune in if I was anywhere across the country. I'd tune in and listen to John Justice in the morning. He's as good as it gets. My brother, I appreciate you as I always do. He's awesome. Freaking John Justice. Gosh, what a good dude. All right. We have a lot more. I'm going to get to some emails and stuff. Before I get to those, you know, we are going to touch on the Iran thing. In fact, I'll probably lead with that next. What is coming? What do I think is coming? I've been reaching out to every source I have trying to figure out what's going to come. But no matter what comes, the people in Israel are going to suffer for a while. That's the way it goes. They're going to suffer for a while. There's going to be needs. There are going to be medical needs, emergency food needs, flak jacket needs, firefighting equipment needs, armored vehicles. They need armored ambulances. Imagine living in a place where your ambulance has to be able to stop bullets. You remember October 7th? A lot of the people who lived there lived because they were in IFCJ-provided ambulances that stopped bullets because Hamas was shooting up all the ambulances. That's where your donation goes. They're looking for 500 people to give $150 because they have a donor who's going to match those donations right now. If you can give, give. Support ifcj.org is where you go to give. All right? We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Let's move off of this stuff and move on to other things, shall we? Machine Gun Kelly. Is Kamala the perfect candidate for the system? In my opinion, she's the perfect win-win candidate. As an empty vessel, she's the perfect puppet. On the other hand, nobody likes her, so she could be the perfect scapegoat for losing the election. Well, that creates an interesting scenario, doesn't it? Of course, the system wants Democrats to win. The system is communist run, therefore it's Democrat won. It only helps the system when Democrats win. But if Dome were to lose, it would create a unique opportunity for the system in that she is a huge pain for them. Remember, they didn't want her on the national stage because the public rejects her. The answer to your question is no, she's not the perfect one. Yes, they love having an empty vessel they can control, but what they really want is a charismatic empty vessel they can control. Joe Biden was much, much, much more of a perfect candidate for the system than Dome is. And it's not because he's any more or less capable than she is. It's because Joe Biden, and don't you dare email me and yell at me, Joe Biden is charming. Not to me. I despise Joe Biden. I want to be clear about that. But Joe Biden has been elected for a very, very, very long time by doing the Scranton Joe thing, which is, of course, a lie, by being the, hey, look at me, I'm hard scrabble Joe. Joe Biden, remember when Joe Biden squared off against Paul Ryan and just beat the living crap out of Paul Ryan in that VP debate? Like, obviously, I was sitting there rooting for Paul Ryan because I didn't want us to lose that election. But as a complete partisan hack, I watched that debate and I winced the entire time knowing Joe Biden was taking that lightweight dork Paul Ryan and beating the living crap out of him. At the same time, Joe's an empty vessel. And getting emptier by the day as his mind melts into hot, steamy goo. So Joe Biden was the perfect president. Dome actually creates problems for them because they have to try to get her over the finish line. They want a charming empty vessel. Look, she's come down on so many different sides of so many different issues that this is how the interviews are going.
In the 2020 primary, the vice president praised the defund the police movement, and now she says she doesn't support defunding the police. She called for decriminalizing crossing the border illegally. Now she supports President Biden's policies for clamping down at the border. She supported Medicare for all at one point, eliminating private insurance. And her campaign says she doesn't support that now. She's reversed herself on a fracking ban. What do you think, that voters should think, when she's reversed herself on several issues just in the last 4 years?
I think that voters should think that she's a human being who learns new things every single day.
But no concern about flip-flopping?
No concern about flip-flopping.
No, not at all. Look, she's going to have a hard time getting elected. But as we talked about earlier, if she gets elected, if they win, it will be painful, but it will be revealing. Speaking of revealing, since Minnesota's in the news, let's talk about their lieutenant governor. Her name's Penny Flanagan. Listen to this.
Because let's be clear, this is life-affirming and life-saving health care. When our children tell us who they are, it is our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. That's what it means to be a good parent.
She's, of course, referring to the fact that she wants children to be able to mutilate themselves behind their parents' back. And that, I want to pair with this story here. This is from Town Hall. I want to make sure they get credit for it. Children's National Hospital. It's a major, major children's hospital. It's advising parents on how to help their kids transition. This is such an unspeakable evil to me. There are so many evil things going on as we look around here right now, but the fact that children are not only being mutilated in our society, they're being mutilated out in the open. Politicians are bragging about doing it. Parents themselves are bragging about what they're doing to their own children. I don't ever claim to be a good person, as you know, and I'm certainly not any kind of a good person. I know that. But even me, even terrible Jesse, I look at what's happening in my society and I'm so overwhelmed with the evil I see. Does it ever hit you like that sometimes? It hits me like that. Whatever. Dear Pink Flower, I've been wanting to email you for a while, considering I've been listening to your world famous show for a couple years now. I'm 28 years old with a wife and son, and I started my own company last August. I love that. I listen to you every day. You have influenced me heavily. I appreciate your boldness. The reason for my email is I just tried a new Dorito, and it was amazing. They're called Dinamita Sticks. Dinamita? Dinamita, I would get. Chris, how do you say that word? Dinamita. It's Mexican. Anyway, Dinamita Sticks. And the flavor is smoky chili queso. Oh, that sounds legit. My first thought was of you and your terrible eating habits. They are absolutely amazing. Please try and let us know what you think. His name is Josh. Chris, can you get us some sticks? Can you order some of those, Chris? Put it on the iHeart credit card. Don't tell the suits what you bought. You don't have to itemize things. Tell them it was for stationery or something. They're never going to know anything. Anyway, get us some of those. All right. We still have an hour. Got BK coming up. Lots of fun. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.